Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 28. Who is my mother? Matthew 12:48. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? Mark 3:33. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother, or my brethren? The idea of being born again has received a pretty thorough battering in recent years. This status has been claimed by everyone from presidents to pornographers. Not only the words have been abused, the concept has been made cliché. The experience of being born again has been reduced to such benign statements as turning over a new leaf, or is referred to only in an innocuous, poetic sense, such as the outcome of a Rocky Mountain high. Its definition has even plumbed the depths of ecstatic feelings derived from sex or drugs. But is there a real experience of being made over, being fashioned again, or recreated in the image of our new Father? The words of Christ communicate clearly that being born again is a real experience, and that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How is one born again? Let's look at the first time the incorruptible seed of God conceived life. Lost in the Christmas traditions is the story of the birth of Christ as recorded in Luke 1. You may wish to read it again to make yourself familiar with it in order to recognize the excerpt below. The story of the birth of Christ is not given to us to make a celebration or a day of giving gifts. It's given as a glimpse of the marvelous work of God as He joins us in this life. It's a picture of the birth that is to occur in all of us. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. When the angel appeared and made his salutation to Mary, his greeting contained a declaration of favor. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. The awareness of being favored, accorded to those who are visited by the Holy Spirit, is nearly absent today. Somewhere among the dialogue of whosoever will and indiscriminate Jesus loves you bumper stickers, we've laid aside the glorious doctrine of election and adulterated the sovereignty of our God. We've come to expect our God to promptly answer when we call. But when the Creator of the universe visits you, it's a wonderful day, and you are highly favored. For thou hast found favor with God. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1:13. Then the angel explained to Mary what was about to happen. And the angel answered her and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We see here that the holy thing is Christ. After questioning the impossibility of such a proposal and being assured that it would be as God said, Mary submitted to the will of God and surrendered herself totally to Him. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. In this story, we can begin to see a parallel to the experience we call being born again. We see the overshadowing or visitation, the expectation of an impossibility, the questioning within, and finally the submission to the higher one. When we reach this point of submission, we have the seed of God implanted in us. This seed has within it the DNA structure of a new you in Christ. As Mary was to carry Christ within her for the next 9 months and then give birth, it is our responsibility to care for and nurture that seed to birth and finally maturity. Paul spoke of this mystery, to whom God would make known this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. In Ephesians 4:15, Paul spoke also of our growing up into Christ. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. As you submit to God in this process of the new birth, he places his seed within you. The new birth is not an instantaneous one that takes place the second you pray a sinner's prayer, as is commonly taught today. First, there's a visitation, a yielding, then a pregnancy, which you are expected to nurture and care for till it comes to the time of birth. If you don't cherish this new seed of Christ, you could miscarry and lose this holy thing within. The doctrine of instantaneous new birth on demand is faulty and misleading. There are scores of people still struggling with sin and trying to reconcile their present wretched lives with their past experience of being born again, when in reality, their visitation only implanted a seed that they must bring to the birth by responsible and caring behavior. Remember that the scripture says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." We've been given the power to become, just as a woman impregnated has been given the potential to bring forth life. The care and nurture necessary to bring about this new birth successfully is to be guided by Christ, to be a disciple, and carrying one's own cross, to do the will of the Father. In fact, being a disciple is living under the discipline that creates the proper environment for the new birth. No one can successfully bring new life into an environment hostile to the nature of the life conceived in them. You cannot force the lips of Christ in us to tell lies, nor force his hands to strike, his mouth to curse, or his heart to worship idols, and yet expect this holy seed to thrive. One must first learn to obey his commandments and do his will to successfully bring about the live birth of the seed within. Luke 14:27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You must do the will of God to care for and not miscarry the seed within. After you've been mother to this holy life within you, it is then that you're born into the family of Christ and have become brothers and sisters of his. Second, after prenatal development comes the birth and the mothering of this new Christ in you, and is a matter of feeding, protecting, and maturing. As Peter says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." Being born again consists of the spirit and life of Christ being born in you. "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. On this particular day, when Jesus was teaching and ministering to his followers, his mother Mary and his brothers were standing outside the place and were calling to him. For what cause he was ignoring them is unknown. Whether it was for this lesson alone or for other reasons, we don't know. The crowd told him that his mother and his brothers were outside and wanted to see him. And Jesus asked a profound thing. Who is my mother? As you consider the holy child that you are carrying and birthing and raising the seed of God, Christ, in you, you may now see new depth to the question of Christ, who is my mother? This is a question you need not answer, as the answer is given quickly afterward. And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God my Father, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother.
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.